You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in at 3:04, the Gym Class coming your way on a Tuesday here on KGYM. Scott Udash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining us coming up here in a couple of moments from his home on the southwest side. Good show coming up for you here today. Besides your texts and phone calls at 319-366-1600, we are going to be talking with John Bonenkamp of iowacollegehoops.com and Hawkeye Nation. We'll talk with John about the Hawkeyes' chances in the NCAA tournament. And other news coming out today as far as college basketball is concerned. That is front and center, even though the NCAA Wrestling Championship's also coming up on starting on Thursday. We'll talk about that coming up on tomorrow's program with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer. We'll do that coming up on the Wednesday edition of the show. But Iowa State in search of a new men's basketball coach. Headlines, things. And we'll get your opinions on that at 319-366-1600. And a whole lot more coming your way on this Tuesday edition of the program. As we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, as well as KGYM, KGYMradio.com. As far as the stream there is concerned, your KGYM mobile app and your smart speaker as well. And it is now officially March because I know, Mark, good afternoon, by the way, first of all.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
I've seen this many times being in Indianapolis. Well, obviously for the race each and every year, the 500, but the Marriott next to Lucas Oil Stadium, known for putting up large banners on the side of the gigantic hotel that they have. And as you might well imagine, with everything going on around Indianapolis, in and around Circle City, they are now putting a giant bracket on the side this year. Gonzaga was the first team to go up on the giant bracket on the outside of that particular hotel in Indianapolis. So we're feeling much more like it is time to kick off these games, and we're about 48 hours from doing so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Are they going to update that bracket as the games are played?
I believe they will.
Really?
Yeah.
That's going to be very cool. And we know it's March as well when Sister Jean surfaces once again.
Yeah.
The 101-year-old chaplain for Loyola. She is doing or just has done a Zoom conference. That's great. 101 years old, and you're doing a Zoom conference. That's great.
And she is going to Indianapolis, by the way.
Yeah.
You think you were going to keep Sister Jean out of Indy? No. Jean's going to take that city lock, stock, and barrel, ladies and gentlemen. And she's going to be down there with her beloved Ramblers of Loyola Chicago. So there you go. That's that was kind of very refreshing, I think, to see today. At least it was for me, Mark.
Well, yeah, she's delightful. Maybe gets too much attention for some people's needs. But, yeah, I just think she's delightful. And following Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, a frequent guest on our program, and Todd and Alex, is that Sister Jean kind of trolled Kentucky, said she didn't see Kentucky any place on the bracket and saw a few new names, and also relating several offers of people wanting to take her to Indianapolis. And she's not really a big fan of being opposite Illinois in that bracket. I mean, first of all, Loyola has to get by Georgia Tech, but should it do so, would have to play Illinois. And Sister Jean, not a big fan of that.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. The big news today, though, is centering around Ames. Actually, last night when then-men's basketball coach Steve Prohm sat down with Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard, and a statement came out shortly thereafter that the two have mutually parted ways. You can read into that as all you want, Mark. Whether they parted ways, whether Steve Prohm didn't quit, I can tell you that. And I don't know if Jamie Pollard actually fired Steve Prohm, but Steve Prohm today is not the men's basketball coach of the Iowa State Cyclones.
Steve Prohm got fired, plain and simple. And Jamie Pollard, in a 10-minute video to Iowa State fans, said as much near the very start. And he said he and Steve Prohm met last night, and he informed Steve of his decision. And his decision was, you can say part ways, go in a different direction, what have you. He was really, Pollard loves Steve Prohm, the person, and I think to a large extent the coach. And he mentioned that several times in his video. Saying they parted ways is just a nice way of saying you're either getting released or fired, whatever verbiage you want to use. And I'm not going to get too hung up on that, but parting ways and going in a different direction is just kind of a kind way of saying something else.
319-366-1600. The text line available to you if you'd like to weigh in. Cyclone fans, it's been rumored for a long time, and it came to fruition last night. Yes, no, what are your feelings about it? Who do you think will be the successor to Steve Prohm out there? We've already had several texts earlier on today asking the question, is Fred Hoiberg coming back to Ames? I think I can say with sheer certainty, Mark, Fred Hoiberg is not coming back to be the Iowa State men's basketball coach. Can we almost 100% agree on that?
Absolutely. And, Pollard and Hoiberg were sideways when Fred left Iowa State. So I don't think Fred would entertain any notion of going back there. Who's going to replace Steve Prohm? I really don't know. TJ Otzelberger's name has been floated out there, and I think that's a natural reach because of Otzelberger's background with Iowa State. Pollard did a home run with Matt Campbell. There's no question about that. And he's going to try to hit a home run with the new basketball coach. Who that's going to be, whether it's going to be a name or somebody that's an up-and-comer, it's going to be an interesting hire. I think Iowa State's a very good job, terrific fan base. Pollard also saying this is not an overnight fix, that it may take a few years. And maybe, maybe not. I mean, basketball is quite different than football. You put together 5 to 7 or 8 players pretty quickly with the transfer portal. By the way, damn near everybody in the Penn State team is in the transfer portal this morning. You can put together a pretty competitive team in short order, and JUCO transfers, what have you. But for the long-term sustainability, you need to be able to recruit those players that will be in your program for a while.
That is a good question, and thank you for bringing that up, Mark. 319-366-1600. Because Iowa State, they've kind of done it both ways over the last decades. Johnny Orr built this thing from the ground up, certainly, and got things rolling as far as the Cyclones are concerned. Fred Hoiberg did it in a different fashion. Fred came in and basically went the transfer route. And Iowa State has had transfers come in, many, many of them. They have had 1 or 2 and duns, probably many more than you would imagine for a program the likes of Iowa State. Is it a situation, do you want to see the next Iowa State men's basketball coach go that route, or would you like to see? I'm kind of thinking with what Jamie Pollard said earlier today in his video to Iowa State fans and from what he said last night, I'm thinking that they are in this thing for the long haul. They don't want to see the short term, okay, let's go out and get three seniors and, you know, be competitive next year, try to win things in a big way, take a big home run swing. I think they're in this thing for the long haul, and I think they're going to try to do this building from the base up. That's just what I took from Jamie Pollard.
Yeah, I think that's a proper approach, and I really think it's going to be some combination thereof. Programs would be foolish not to pay attention to the transfer portal if they can get a player that's going to help right away and maybe has a couple, 3 years of eligibility left. That's a form of recruiting, but I think to establish a solid base, it needs to recruit strongly in the high school ranks. But then again, I also say you really need to take advantage of that transfer portal. It's out there for a reason.
319-366-1600. As we come your way on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. What do you think? I think one thing is certain, and that is that the next Iowa State men's basketball coach is going to spend a lot more time recruiting in the state of Iowa than Steve Prohm did. Do we agree on that, Mark?
Oh, I think so. I don't know if Prohm didn't recruit Iowa strongly. I mean, he got Xavier Foster out of Oskaloosa, but Iowa high school players have been few and far between in the Iowa State program, and we see what Iowa high school players have done in other programs. You and I talked earlier what Jeff Horner is doing down at Truman State. I realize that's not a Division I program, but Horner, being a former Iowan, knows the talent in the state of Iowa, and it's pretty deep given the size of the state. That's going to be up 1 year, down the next, this, that, and the other. But I think that's important for Iowa State to establish a presence in the state or reestablish that presence.
Very true. Very true. 319-366-1600. By the way, congratulations going out to Tucker DeVries, who was named Mr. Iowa Basketball Today. I actually was named over the weekend, but was released at midnight last night. The son of Darren DeVries, the Drake coach. And, of course, Tucker will be headed off to Drake to play for his father. At least that is the at least as of right now, Darren DeVries is at Drake as their men's basketball coach. I'm not.
Yeah, if his father is there.
Yeah, I'm not speculating. I am not speculating anything like that. And by the way, I was going to look earlier. I did not have enough time, but I believe we had a first this year with Mr. Iowa Basketball and Miss Iowa Basketball coming from the same school in the same year. I believe that is a first out there. Of course, Kate Dinnebier of Waukee was Miss Iowa Basketball, also going to Drake. Tucker DeVries, Mr. Iowa Basketball out of Waukee, also going to Drake. Not only the same school, going to the same school. Boy, this is just, my mind is being blown here, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's probably a first. I was on the, what was then the Iowa Daily Press Association All-State Committee when the committee decided to bring in Mr. Basketball. And I think Todd Birkenpass was the first.
Yes.
Mr. Basketball, what was that, in the late
70s? 1981, Todd Birkenpass.
1981. Okay.
Out of Maple Valley.
And I followed it over the years, and I can't recall. Maybe a listener has one out there.
18 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, 319-366-1600. Text line available to you. Cyclone fans, your reactions to Steve Prohm being let go as the Iowa State men's basketball coach. Love to hear from you. Who do you think is going to replace him as the Iowa State men's basketball coach? Now, Jamie Pollard did say that this could take a couple years, but he also said that he believes the coaching search is not going to take very long. And we know, Mark, dealing with this before, that each of these athletic directors has a couple of names in that top drawer of their desk for each sport that they're going to look at. And if something happens, if their coach leaves, if something needs to be done. And you know Jamie Pollard has done his due diligence. He's got names up there as well. And we'll see how quickly this plays out. Speaking of coaching searches, Indiana, of course, underway with their coaching search, and several of the national college basketball writers are reporting that Indiana has yet to reach out to people such as Chris Beard of Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech is in the middle of the NCAA tournament. Maybe they're just waiting until Texas Tech is eliminated or after the Final Four or whatever the case may be, but they have not reached out to a couple of the higher-profile candidates that a lot of people thought they would in their coaching search. One of them is not Richard Pitino, though, Mark. He will not be going to Bloomington. He will also not be going to Ames.
No, less than 24 hours after he was fired by Minnesota, he has been named the new head coach at New Mexico. And not a huge surprise by any means, because Pitino interviewed with New Mexico over the weekend before he was even released by Minnesota. So he is off the table. Sort of an interesting poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Entitlement, Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thanks to Steve Anderson there. Maybe Steve's a candidate.
Could be. He knows his basketball.
Which recently fired coach is most likely to return to the NCAA tournament first? Would it be Steve Prohm, Richard Pitino, or Archie Miller? And one of the problems there is we don't know where Prohm's going to land, where Archie Miller's going to land. We do know where Richard Pitino has landed. But kind of an interesting question. And reading that poll made me wonder, in 2021, what is the more attractive job among those three? The obvious choice would be Indiana, probably, right?
Boy, they've got great facilities and a great backyard to recruit in. There's no doubt about that. It's got to be Indiana.
And I would put Iowa State second, Minnesota third. I mean, Minnesota is in a professional market. One of the Richard Pitino's downfalls was he lost so many players from the state to different programs.
Yep.
Now, wasn't Jalen Suggs a Minnesotan?
Yes. Yes.
Now you're not going to get everybody, as Iowa and Iowa State fans have come to learn. There's going to be the Kansases and others that come in, swoop in, and get some of your best players in the state. But I saw a list of players Pitino lost, and perhaps that was his downfall. I don't know.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. And Richard Pitino going to New Mexico, the similar path taken by Steve Alford several years ago now, as he was unemployed for a very short time and went from Iowa to Albuquerque, and now Richard Pitino taking the same route. We're going to talk with John Bonenkamp in about 5 or 6 minutes and get his thoughts about the NCAA tournament, get his thoughts about Steve Prohm's departure from Ames, and other aspects of college basketball with John. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. NBA basketball coming your way tonight at 8:30. Portland and New Orleans going at it tonight. We'll have that on all of our frequencies starting at 8:30. Don't forget, programming note for you coming up on Thursday with the start of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. You've got the first four, and we're going to join up with that at 5 o'clock. Mark and I will be on from 3 until 4, our accustomed time. Todd and Alex will be on a short from 4 to 5 to get you ready for the NCAA tournament, and then Drake will tip off at 5:30, and we'll have it on all the frequencies. Friday, we've got the NCAA tournament on 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM for you. 107.5 will have normal programming throughout the day. And then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, all frequencies on the NCAA tournament. Then on Monday, we're going to try to finalize this, but now we know the Iowa State women are going to be playing on Monday afternoon. 4:30 is going to be their pregame time as they take on Michigan State in the women's tournament. Congratulations to Bill Fenley and company. Congratulations as well to Lisa Bluter, as the Hawkeyes make it into the NCAA tournament. They are going to be playing their game on the weekend, Mark. They're going to be playing Sunday afternoon.
Central Michigan, yeah. And
the Chips.
The Chips, exactly. Interesting game there with two teams that shoot the three as well as anybody in the country. And then I think that Iowa State-Michigan State matchup is a dandy as well. Looking forward to see how the women, those two teams progress.
Yeah, and of course, different schedule this year as far as the NCAAs. They are not following the traditional course, if you will, because tonight, in a normal year, we would have two first four games tonight and two tomorrow night, and then getting everything underway on Thursday. But it's going Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday this year. And then they'll pick it up the following weekend on Saturday and Sunday. So not your typical NCAA tournament days this year. So keep that in mind, everybody.
Now is the time more than ever to get a TV with picture-in-picture or a second TV. That's what happens in March Madness. I think television sales go up. But Saturday night, Scott, Hawkeye fans of all sports got a real problem. Because the men's basketball team, of course, plays at 5:30 or 5:25, whatever that tip is. And at 6 o'clock is the championship matches of the NCAA wrestling.
Well, Spencer Lee will help. He'll only take about 90 seconds.
Match.
Yeah. Spencer will help by his 90-second pin in the finals. Am I throwing too much pressure on him?
No, we'll watch him during the commercial break of the basketball game.
Well, you better watch Spencer because you may miss him putting away his opponent on Saturday night down at St. Louis. I saw the NCAA tweeting out a photo of the championship trophy in the square across from the courthouse in St. Louis and with the arch in the background, which was pretty cool. So hopefully everything's going to go fine with St. Louis. So far, no team problems as far as COVID and the NCAA and basketball. There are problems with officials, though. Some big top-line officials, including TV Ted Valentine, and well as John Higgins, have been sidelined and quarantined right now with COVID. So we got the officials, and we've needed the officials just as much, obviously, as the players getting through the season. But apparently several of them went out to dinner in and around the Indianapolis area while their hotel rooms were being prepared. And apparently we had problems coming off of that.
Yeah, one official that I know of tested positive for COVID, and then you have contact tracing, which eliminated the others, or at least put them in quarantine. So, curious situation there. And you mentioned wrestling, Scott. I think now is a good time to tip our hats to Dick Simmons and all the volunteers and everyone who worked the Division III Wrestling Championships. In Coralville at the Extreme Arena over the weekend. I know Dick tweeted that there were over 1,100 COVID tests given and there were no negatives among the athletes and coaches and other personnel. Remarkable result there. And by all accounts, an outstanding tournament run well. The fans were in attendance, some anyway. And a couple local kids, Kyle Briggs and Josh Gerke from the metro area winning national championships. Co-ed three national champions.
Henderson got a win, too.
Yeah. No. Really happy to see that go off thanks to the National Wrestling Coaches Association and Dick Simmons and all the volunteers.
Yeah, congratulations to all of the champions and everybody that got to compete down there. 3:28, and I want to remind everyone, still time to get in as far as the KGYM Bracket Challenge presented by Imon Communications. Your shot to win $500. Yeah, all you need to do is fill out. You don't even need to fill out a perfect bracket, but just to have a bracket that's better than everybody else out there. And you can go to kgymradio.com for a link to join up with the KGYM Bracket Challenge group. The password is HOOPS with a capital H. You'll need to join a group and then search for KGYM and click on it using the password HOOPS. And brackets will be accepted today through this Friday morning at 11 o'clock. You've got till Friday at 11 o'clock. And, of course, big thanks to I'm On Communications, a presenting sponsor of this year's KGYM Bracket Challenge. And get your bracket ready to go out there. All right, we'll take a break, come back. John Bonacamp is going to join us, and we will talk hoops in the NCAA tournament with John when we return after this here on KGYM.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et d'où viens-tu?
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com, babbel.com.
The early bird will get much more than the worm this month at IMON. If you're one of the first 50 people to switch to IMON's 100 megabit internet, you'll also receive a free Amazon Fire Stick. That's right, not only will you get fast, reliable internet service for only $57 per month, you'll also get superior 24/7 customer support and a free Amazon Fire Stick if you're one of the first 50 customers to sign up. Upgrade your streaming before the sun starts beaming this spring with IMON's internet service and your free Amazon Fire Stick. Sign up today at go.imon.net/radio.
New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free, up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account, and your first bet is on us, up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. Wanted to get this note out here, Mark, because you and I are big golf aficionados, but we're getting closer and closer. Of course, we had the Players last weekend. Augusta is coming up around the corner. Tonight, great documentary that ESPN has put together along with and in conjunction with Augusta National. The newest ESPN documentary is going to be shown tonight at 7 o'clock called The One in November. It's about behind the scenes at the November playing of the Masters with Augusta National's help, Mark. That's the important thing. This is in conjunction with Augusta National Golf Club.
Thanks for the tip. I was not aware. I will have to tune in.
Please do. Please do. Going to be fun. Going to be fun indeed. And that is going to be a keeper tonight. Behind the scenes, Champions Dinner to trimming trees on Magnolia Lane to lots of stuff they're going to show tonight. So, That'll be a good time, and that will be appointment viewing for Mark and I. 319-366-1600 as we bring in our guest today, John Bonacamp, of course, with IowaCollegeHoops.com, Hawkeye Nation. Anything to do with a sport around here, except for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They are not here in Iowa. John will be there. Front
well, end. But I should be there. So.
Well, okay. Yeah, I know. And
anyway,
I was going to introduce you as a fan of the team that shares the Chicago White Sox spring training facility.
Actually, it's theirs, and they just let the White Sox play.
Oh, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah. So. Champions get first right of, you know, so anyway.
I know.
Anyway.
It'd be great to if there was a little get together in October between two teams that shared the same spring training facility. I'm, you know, not to go put any pressure on two certain teams or anything like that, but it would be fun.
Oh, I think it'd be a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I think that's the, I think that's a really good White Sox team. I'll be curious to see how this season goes for them. I mean, I think there's a lot of talent there, and I think it'll be a fun season for them.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we're in basketball right now, and okay. Let's get to the story here. I know it's not Hawkeye related or anything like that, but Steve Prohm, not right. Coaching at Iowa State now. Not a big shock to anybody out there. I guess your thoughts about it and what direction do you think Iowa State goes now?
That's a good question. I mean, I haven't watched the Jamie Pollard video from today yet. So, but I'm curious to see where they go. I mean, I mean, you see some names popping up already. And, I mean, it's a great job. There isn't going to be – I mean, they're not going to lack for a candidate, I don't think. I mean, when you think about it, in a normal season, when you have fans, that's an arena that's always packed. That's a very loyal fan base. And a lot, you know, and other coaches have won there. And it's not, you know, so, I mean, it's – and they have been very successful there. So, I mean, I think there's going to be no shortage of candidates for them. You know, I think it just a lot depends on how, you know, what Jamie Pollard's direction is going to be. And I mean, you know, does he go after an established, you know, mid-major coach? You did that once, you know, do you go after a big name? Do you know, do you put together a financial package to go after somebody big? I don't know. But like I said, I think it's a great job. And I think it's a quick rebuild. I think it's not a long journey to get back to where they were. I think it's something that they can fix pretty quickly.
John, the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, in regards to Iowa, was it about what you expected out of the Hawkeyes, or did it fall short?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they would have trouble with Illinois, and I thought just from the way Illinois has been playing, and I thought that, you know, but I thought it would be a good game, and it was until the last few minutes. You know, in my mind, it wasn't that big of a disappointment because, you know, it's an extra day of rest before you have to play again. You're not extending yourself any further than what you had to. You went there, you got a win, you got to Saturday, you played well, you played in an arena that you may see at some point during this tournament. You know, I think it was a good education for them. I think it was exactly kind of what I expected. I didn't expect them to get to the championship game. I think that's fine. I think this, you know, what you're doing is starts this week. That's the most important thing for them. So I thought it worked just the way I thought it was going to go.
When you look back on things as far as this basketball season is concerned, obviously other than, you know, working around the pandemic and things like that, you got to think of Luka Garza first, obviously. By the way, congratulations to him. AP First Team All-American, unanimous today. And so a repeat performance by him. But other than Luka Garza, what are you going to remember about this Iowa team going through the regular season?
I think it, from an individual, I think really the way Joe Wieskamp has played. I mean, I think his game took a big step from where he was. You know, when you think back to where he was playing at the end of last year, where he was really struggling with the way teams defended him and he shot the ball poorly and didn't get a chance to fix that in the postseason, in the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament. I thought he played really well. And then obviously Keegan Murray. I mean, you saw a player that nobody really thought, you know, was going to be a major contributor until you saw him play for the first time. And to me, that was one of the biggest things is you just saw his steady improvement during the season, and he never really hit that freshman wall that a lot of young players hit. I mean, I think he stayed at a very steady pace throughout the year and got better and played really well down the stretch when they needed him to. And he stepped in too. I mean, he stepped in when CJ Frederick got hurt and started, and he was going to be in that spot if Joe Wieskamp couldn't play in the Big Ten tournament. He's given them great minutes all year, and I mean, this is a guy that I think they can build around here in the next, you know, couple of years.
What are your thoughts, John, on Iowa's draw in the NCAA tournament, not only with Grand Canyon in the first round, but that bottom half of the bracket in the West? Some people think it's a good draw, some not so much. How about you?
I thought it was a really good draw. And, I mean, I think that second-round game could be a bit of an issue if they have to play Oregon. You know, I mean, I think that's a really good Oregon team and the way they were playing down the stretch. But I thought that was a good bracket for them. I mean, there's a couple of the brackets there that would have been really difficult for them. And I thought this was a good place for them. And they can very easily get to the Elite Eight. And I'd like to see them against a Gonzaga team, you know, when they're making shots and they're defending, which is what they didn't do in either case back in December. So it's one of those things to get there. I think that, you know, they may run into some tough teams there, but I thought it was a very good draw for them. I thought it was a very good bracket for them.
Well, I was going to run into probably somebody who's a fellow All-American as well sometime in the next couple of games, because Oregon has one and USC has one.
Yeah, and I mean there's talent there. I mean there's some great teams in that bracket, and some that maybe you don't think about. And like you said, you know, I mean a lot of people are talking about a possible second round game against Oregon and the matchup problems that might, you know, and you talk about USC, you know, who knows, maybe a Drake or a Wichita State out of that first four sneaks into the second weekend. Who knows? So I mean, there, like I said, there's a lot of talent in that bracket, but I thought it worked out well for them the way it all kind of came together.
Well, you're in Burlington, John, a stone's throw from Illinois. Are there Illinois fans in Burlington?
Yeah, and trust me, when I was at the Hawkeye, we'd hear from them when they were good. You know, and I mean, our circulation area did extend over on the Illinois side, and you know, I'll never forget that. In that 2005 season, it's why aren't you going down there and covering them? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And yeah, I mean, there's quite a few of them in the area, and then I've started to see more Illinois bumper stickers and started seeing people with sweatshirts. And again, they're winning now, so everybody's back. You don't see it a lot during football season, but I think there's a lot of interest in this team. I mean, just from the proximity, you know. I mean, I covered Brad Underwood when he was at Western Illinois as an assistant. You know, so, I mean, I know him. It's like, you know, so, I mean, it's a fascinating team, and I think there is some interest down in this area just because of the proximity and, you know, and the people that know and people that get into the rivalry, too. You know, I mean, that rivalry was always what it was back in the 90s and into the 2000s. And so, I mean, there's a lot of fan base down there. But like I said, you're starting to see the shirts now and you're starting to see the hats. Everybody's out now because they're winning and playing well.
Yeah. John Bonenkamp joining us at 3:42, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And do you think Illinois has got the best take Iowa out of the equation, obviously. Mm-hmm. Illinois have the best shot of any of the Big Ten teams to go potentially all the way and win this thing? Can Michigan do it?
Yeah.
Perhaps without Livers? Is it Illinois?
That's the thing. I mean, without Livers, I don't know about Michigan, because I really didn't like the way they were playing down the stretch anyway with him. And so without him, you know, what does that do? Ohio State showed some flaws late in the season, but Illinois has just been so good, and there's so much confidence in that team. And this is a team that has a very strong inside presence, obviously, and a strong outside presence. And they're a really hard team to defend. And I think for them, the key is going to be how a game is called by whatever officiating crew. If it's a tight game being called and they're playing against a really talented team, they're going to have some problems. I mean, I just think that's going to happen. And you saw that a little bit in Sunday's game against Ohio State, the way that game was called. That's their biggest flaw right now. But other than that, I mean, this team is really on a roll right now. This team is playing with a lot of confidence and a lot of chemistry. You see these guys really get along and enjoy playing with each other. So, I mean, I think that makes them a pretty dangerous team this time of year.
Yeah, and I don't think Illinois got any bargain in its bracket in the Midwest, John. See if you agree. I mean, you've got teams like Oklahoma State and Houston and West Virginia, maybe even Tennessee. Again, I don't think any bargain.
No, I mean, you've got some teams there, too, that can defend. and that are as athletic as Illinois. And so, I mean, so you've got some teams that I think can match up well with them. And then again, if the game is called closely, that could kind of work against Illinois. So, I mean, it's not going to be an easy road for them because, like you said, there are some really good teams in there, and there are some teams that can match up with them and run with them if the case may be. So, you know, it's not going to be as easy road as I think some people think, but I still think they get to the Final Four, but I think they're going to get challenged, especially in that second weekend.
The Big Ten season and the Big Ten teams, taking a look at them, I think the final chapter obviously is yet to be written, how good the league has been this year. But for what has been talked about, written about, discussed as far as how good the Big Ten is this year, this conference cannot go into the tournament and fall flat on its face.
No, you're right. And I mean, and like I said, there are some high-profile teams, going back to what I said about Michigan. And, you know, the way Ohio State played, you know, in the last couple of weeks, and it made you think, okay, how good are these teams really going to be when you get into the tournament? So, I mean, there may be a high-profile name that goes down early. And there may be some teams in that. I mean, you know, I've really liked how this Purdue team has grown. But they could very easily get knocked out in the first weekend. And, you know, there's going to be some other teams in there. And Iowa, too. I mean, again, going back to some of the teams they might run into. And, you know, somebody is going to get knocked off, I think, you know, among some of those better teams. And then it's going to raise all the questions. But I think for the league, there's got to be somebody that steps up and makes it to the Final Four and then to kind of justify what's been said about them during the season.
Don't sleep in Ohio State.
You know, I like the way they played in the Big Ten tournament, and that kind of gives me some signs that maybe they shook off what they did. But again, I think that's a really good team, a talented team that again has kind of that inside outside presence. But you know what happened here a couple weeks ago gives you a little bit of pause. But I do think that they have a strong chance of getting to the Final Four too if everything falls together for them.
Who's the John Bonenkamp flyer? Who do you think is going to have a good NCAA tournament? Have you broken things down yet in your bracket?
Yeah, you know, the team I really liked and I watched them a lot during the season, and I watched them a lot this weekend, was Alabama. And I really liked how they played. And out of that SEC, too, if you're looking for a surprise team, I really like LSU. You know, I watched them over the weekend. And, again, this is a team that likes to run, defends well, and shoots long threes. And, I mean, they've got guys that can hit from anywhere. So, I mean, if you're looking for kind of a surprise team, watch LSU. But I really like the way Alabama played, especially down the stretch. And, I mean, that was a team that I think it's an interesting team because they either shoot at the rim or they shoot threes. They don't like the mid-range shot, which is really interesting. But the way they defend, I think, makes them a really strong candidate to somehow get to the Final Four.
John, I think it's a good opportunity for us to talk a little baseball because the minor league season is coming up, major leagues, of course. Yep. And in Burlington, it will not have an affiliated baseball team. And I know you've covered the Bees for a number of years. Maybe too many for us to count, huh? I don't know. But
yeah.
What is baseball going to look like in Burlington without affiliated baseball?
I think it's going to be kind of sad. I mean, I can't wait to see kind of what they put together for a roster for their prospect league team, which is, I mean, it's similar to the Northwoods League, and I'm going to be curious to see what kind of roster they put together in the first year, and then I'm going to be curious to see how the community responds. You know, and I think it's going to be up to the organization to get people to come out, to get people to see what it is, because I've seen Northwoods League baseball. I've gone to games. It's good baseball.
It is.
It's you know, so I worry about what people are going to think without a minor league affiliate, but it is sad. I'm going to miss them. I mean, it was always something to talk about. And you see guys now with the Angels, like Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh is coming up. And these are guys that were just here a couple of years ago. And people gravitate towards that. So let's see how the community reacts to this team. And let's see how the team tries to get, you know, how the organization gets people out. I think that's the big key. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be a different summer. It's just going to feel weird, I think.
It is. I mean, and you're still going to have those good stories like that. they're not going to be quite as often, and they're just going to take a little longer to develop, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, like I said, I saw Northwoods League games. It's good baseball, and I've been to games at Waterloo, and it's a great atmosphere, and it's a lot of fun. It's just going to be, can the community here understand that and get out and watch these guys play? Because I think that you will see some talent out there of guys that want to get to that professional level. It's just going to be, you know, again, you're a couple levels down now. So I'll be curious to see how the community responds.
True.
Yeah, in terms of the ball club itself, how much job loss? I mean, you still have to have a ticket manager. You still have concessions. You got this, that, and the other. I'm sure they're going to have promotions in Burlington. What's the impact on the city, or is that yet to be determined?
They were good throughout last year with not having baseball. And, I mean, they've got the same staff. Everybody's back. They haven't cut anybody. They've been able to get some of these, you know, some of the COVID relief help and the PPP loans and that sort of thing to keep going. And I know they're going to have a lot of things. Like the junior college is going to be playing its baseball games there this spring. They're going to try to get a lot more high school games there. I know they've been talking with Burlington High School about maybe playing their games there instead of at the field that Burlington has, just because they did some games there last year and it worked. So they're going to try to have baseball there. It's just not going to be that one team. It's going to be a lot of different teams and a lot of different things. And so, I mean, they're going to try to make this work, and I think they can. It's just going to be how the community responds is going to be the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. And, yeah, no affiliated baseball, basically no races at the Iowa Speedway.
I know. yeah, and that's another one. We could go on for hours with some of that stuff. But, yeah, I that's another one I'm going to miss. And I mean, they've got one race there, and I hope something happens that they can get an IndyCar race back, or, you know, maybe get the NASCAR series back. And maybe next year when this kind of all goes away and we can get back, maybe there will be some of that again. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm with you. I hope so. We've had a good times over there. And the IndyCar race is great there. And I thought that would stick around for a long time.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there were those rumors that Roger Penske might buy the track. And maybe he does in a year.
He's got money left.
So he spent a lot of money. I know that. So, but yeah, it's like maybe somebody does something like that, and maybe something happens. But, you know, I really would like to get, because it is a great track. There's always been great races there. It doesn't matter what series has been there. There's been great racing, and it's just a matter of, you know, getting the fans to come back, because they've kind of gone away over the last few years. And so that to me is the biggest thing. Again, who knows what it's going to look like a year from now when we get out of this pandemic and the economy kind of gets going again. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, if you need a race fix, give me a call. I know a guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to go see something. I mean, that's one thing. It's like I want to get somewhere this year to get to see a race, because I missed it last year. So.
All right. Hey, John, appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Enjoy the tournament. And always good catching up with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. John Bonenkamp joining us here on the Gym Class, the Tuesday edition, right here on KGYM. Give him a follow on Twitter. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about the AP All-American teams. Luca Garza is a first-team unanimous member of that. And talk more about who will replace Steve Prohm in Ames when we come back.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You already know that BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Now get ready to find out why they're also the king of parlays. Each game day during college basketball's March matchups, BetMGM customers will receive a parlay boost token that can turn a big win into a blockbuster windfall. Just build your parlay, launch your boost, and watch your payouts skyrocket. It's that simple. New to BetMGM? Sign up today, and you'll automatically receive Parlay Boost tokens throughout the college tournament. You tack on teams to your parlay, and BetMGM will tack on extra cash to your winning wagers. It's college hoopla time, and the action is even more wild when you add some serious fuel to your parlay bets. Log into your account or download the app and experience March matchups like never before with Parlay Boost tokens only at BetMGM. Opt-in required. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
3:54, back with you here on the Gym Class for a Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside joins us to preview the National Wrestling Tournament, which will get underway on Thursday down at Enterprise Center in St. Louis. And we'll talk all about it coming up with Mark tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Fran McCaffrey going to meet the media tomorrow, Zoom from Indianapolis. And we'll have audio on that coming up tomorrow with Todd and Alex, as that is part of Coach's Cuts on KGYM. It's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. We mentioned Mark, Luca Garza, second straight season, an AP All-American, first-teamer, and, of course, unanimous first-team All-American this year. So congratulations to Luca.
First time University of Iowa has had a first-team All-America in consecutive seasons, and he is joined on the AP team by a pretty good collection of players, Scott. Ayu Dosunmu of Illinois, Corey Kispert of Gonzaga, Jared Butler of Baylor, and Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State. Now, the AP All-American team is one of four outlets that are used to determine consensus All-America. Garza is halfway home. He already was named to the Sporting News team. And I think it's safe to say he's going to be in a consensus All-America again. And he's a finalist for six other awards. So the cavalcade of honors is going to continue for Luca Garza.
You had your freshmen on there, but not as many as usual. And I think what was more refreshing and what made college basketball a pretty darn entertaining this year is you've got a lot of upperclassmen. By the way, you've got three centers on the second team. You got Hunter Dickinson, Kofi Coburn, and then Evan Mobley, who is 7 foot for USC, who Iowa might see. Jalen Suggs, Drew Timmy, also from Gonzaga on there. Third team, Davion Mitchell from Baylor, a junior. Junior Quentin Grimes from Houston. Senior Herb Jones of Alabama. Cam Crutwig, the senior out of Loyola, on the third team, and Chris Duarte of Oregon, who Iowa might see in the second round, on there, a sophomore. But you have a few upperclassmen, which is kind of refreshing to see this year on the AP All-American teams.
And when you have a first team that does not include Jalen Suggs, you got a pretty good first team.
Not bad. Not bad, indeed. And yeah, we'll see if there's a return match down the road between Iowa and Gonzaga, but Hawks got to take care of business against Grand Canyon first of all. And again, more on Steve Prohm's departure from Ames coming up with Todd and Alex. Lisa Bluter will also join the guys coming up on the program today. Iowa women's basketball coach, fresh off the NCAA bid extended to Iowa. And Hawkeyes will take on Central Michigan in their first-round game. The Iowa State women will take on Michigan State out of the Big Ten in their first-round game. That will be on Monday, late afternoon for that one. We'll have it here on KGYM for you. And looking forward to talking with Mark tomorrow. He's going to pull over on his way to St. Louis, he said. So he's looking forward to it as well. And this is what Iowa has been gunning and gearing up for more than 365 days. So I think Mark and the Hawks are going to be pretty pumped tomorrow.
This is what we've been waiting for, and I know Mark, as usual, will be locked and loaded for us.
He will be. He will be. All right, we'll talk with him tomorrow. We will talk with you coming up tomorrow. Mark, you have a great night, and we'll discuss things tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right, stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Thank you for listening and joining us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
It's time for some straight talk. your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51.